Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for you, for who you are. And Lord, we thank you that you have moved on the hearts of some that are putting out these kind of movies, Lord, that really are a great testimony for you. And Lord, we pray that you, Lord, would bless that movie, that, Lord, there'd be many that would come to know you through it. But also, Lord, we're here now. We're here, Lord, to worship you, but we're also here to hear from you. Lord, we want you to speak to us. And Father, really, we need you to speak to us. We pray now that you would open our ears, our hearts, our eyes, so that we would hear, so we would see what you want us to. Father, we just want to know what you want us to know. And we pray, Father, that today you would speak to us, that we would leave here, Lord, with something that we didn't come here with. Lord, we want you. That's what we want, Lord. We want you. Please bless this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's teaching is When the Prescribed Becomes Prohibited. Now, we're all familiar with expiration dates, right? We see them on everything these days. You know, you buy something, it's good. You wait a little while, it's bad. It's just the way it is. And it seems to me, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but doesn't it seem like the expiration dates are getting shorter and shorter from the time you buy them? And I don't know if that's just me or if it's really like something going on where either they're figuring out, oh, gee, this stuff doesn't last as long as we thought it did, so we need to shorten the expiration date, or if they just want you to buy their stuff, throw away the stuff, you just buy their stuff sooner, you know, and where they're creating kind of a demand there. But, you know, there's some things that you just shouldn't take a chance with. I think milk is one of them. Milk, you really want to make sure. And in preparation for this teaching, I got kind of thinking about this, and I went online, and I checked around and saw a lot of different websites, because the age-old question is, how long is the milk good for after that best buy date, right? And most of the websites say that if you handle it properly, in other words, you know, you get it out of the fridge, you pour it and put it right back in the fridge, and if you store it at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or colder, that most all of them are agreed that it'll last between 2 to 5 days after that date. And some say, well, as much as 7 days, but I'm not, you know, it's like, I'm not going there, but 2 to 5 days is what it is. And that's a public service announcement of Calvary Chapel of White Mountains, okay? But in the warmer temperatures, milk does not do too well. And it doesn't take very long when milk is warm or hot for it to go bad. And I mean really bad. Back when I think I was 17 or 18, I was driving a tow truck, and we ran the trucks out of this gas station. And this was one of the old school gas stations that were made out of tin. Remember the sheet metal walls in the gas stations? They were just, I mean, really just one sheet of metal. And that's what the roof was too. And if the bay doors were rolled down and there was no air getting through there, in a hot summer day, it would turn into an oven. Man, you couldn't even stand to go in there until you went and opened all the bay doors and all that kind of stuff, let the air get in there for a while, and then you could go in. Well, one summer, and I think I was around 17 or 18 or whatever, and I used to drink a lot of milk. And I loved the taste of ice cold milk. And one Friday during the summer, I got a quart of milk, and I was drinking it with lunch, and I only drank about half of it. And then I put it back in what we used as a refrigerator, which was an old Coke machine that we had taken out most of the shelves for, and put it in there. And it was like a three-day weekend. For some reason, that summer, that weekend, the shop was closed for 3 days. Okay, so I put it in there. Well, when they shut off all the lights, they also shut off the breaker to the Coke machine. All right? Well, I come back in 3 days later, and that morning they had turned the thing back on. And so the Coke machine gets all cold. Everything in it is nice and cold and icy. And I think, oh, man, do I could really go for it. This is like sometime in the afternoon. I could really go for a really cold drink of milk. Yeah, oh, I got that milk back there. So I went over there, opened it up, gug, gug. And then the smell hit me. Blah! I was so glad there was a sink right there because everything I had eaten, I think, in the last 3 weeks came up. my brain hit the evacuate now button for my stomach. And yeah, I looked down in there after I got through with the whole, you know, convulsing and all that stuff. I looked in there, it was like green hairy stuff and chunks and lumps and everything. Like, oh, it was an abomination. And from now on, from that point on, I am very careful about milk. I look at the expiration dates, and I will do the, you know, look at the date, and if there's any question, I'll do the smell test, and you know, if my wife is around or somebody else, say, here, smell this. Is this okay? Really? You ask her. She'll tell you. Oh, yeah, he's always asked me to do it. And then I'll do the little taste thing, you know. Well, okay, yeah, that's all right. I can drink it. I am very careful about that. Now, what's that got to do with the Bible study today? Well, today we're going to see something else that's referred to as an abomination for a very similar reason here. And something that was prescribed for Israel to do, but once it went past the, quote, expiration date, it was prohibited. They weren't to do it. And we'll see how that might relate to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here we are in Leviticus 7, and chapter 7 basically kind of goes over again a lot of the sacrifices that we've already went through. But it gives some more details, a few more rules here and there. And when you get to verse 11, God gives some more detailed instructions about the peace offering, or fellowship offering as it's also called. But let's go ahead and start in verse 15. And he gives some directions here on the peace offering. He says, the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. So the peace offering or fellowship offering, remember, we saw that it was to be done of the old free will. And the offering itself was to be eaten by the one who offered it, his friends, his family, and for any of the Levites that were present. And we saw when we looked at the peace offering, the fellowship offering, that that particular offering could be male or female. The other offerings had to be a male animal, but this one could be either male or female. And we saw how that represented us, male and female, offering ourselves to the Lord as a sacrifice to the Lord, offering ourselves to Him. And surrendering ourselves to Him. And folks, God wants there to be peace between Him and us. God wants that. And we saw when we looked at the peace offering that the only way there can be peace with us is when we receive the sacrifice that He sacrificed for us, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. That's the only way there can be peace with us. And then that meal that was after the peace offering, that was a fellowship between the person who offered it and God and all of his friends and all that. And it was just a joyous time. And with that in mind, the fact that this had to be eaten the same day that it was offered really reminds us of 2 Corinthians 6:2. It says, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. See, that offering had to be eaten, that particular one had to be eaten that same day. And that really speaks to us that that sacrifice that was made on our behalf, if you're not born again, if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, today is the day. Today is the day you need to do that because you are not guaranteed tomorrow. There's no guarantee about tomorrow. The time to receive Jesus, God's sacrifice for our sins, is the first day you hear it. It's on that day, and that is today. When I was a brand new Christian, back in, I think it was in 76 that this happened, I was at Calvary Chapel at Downey, and on Friday nights, they did Christian movies, and they always had a gospel message, and they always gave an opportunity to receive Christ after that movie. And one night, there, one Friday night, this guy came, and nobody knew him. Nobody knew if he was a Christian or not. Everybody came, he watched the movie. He did not come forward when there was the invitation given. And when the pastor was locking up the church, he went out to the parking lot to go home, and you know, over the parlor, he saw this one car. He went over to it and saw that it was this guy that was slumped over his steering wheel, dead. The guy had attended the service there, saw the movie, heard the invitation, and went out in his car and didn't even get out of the parking lot. He passed away right there. Now, nobody knows if the guy was already a believer or not. Nobody knew. But the deal is, what we know from that is that God gave that guy at least one last chance. He gave him one more time to hear the gospel. And folks, no one knows if you will have a tomorrow. Nobody knows if you're going to be on your way home from church and some truck is going to run a red light and, you know, right there, boom, man, and you're in eternity. Nobody knows that. And you do have today, though. And that's the important thing. And that's what God wants you to know. You've got today. You don't have tomorrow. You don't know for sure if there's going to be a tomorrow. And when we're young, we like to think, man, we've got forever, don't we? But there's a lot of people that don't make it to old age. There's a lot that don't have tomorrow. And so we have to understand that God has given us today. Today is the day that we need to get right with God. Today is the day we need to surrender to Him. Now, verse 16 talks about another type of peace offering. He says, if the sacrifice of His offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder of it also may be eaten. So you have 2 days there. You know, if the peace offering was for a vow or voluntary offering, then you could eat the leftovers the next day. Now, the meat, you know, wouldn't be as good tasting or as tender probably as the first day, but you could still eat it. And for us, most of us probably wouldn't want to eat meat that's been at room temperature, you know, for a whole 24 hours or more, right? And most of us are like, yeah, that's okay, I'll pass. But back then, and a lot of countries today, that's pretty common practice, though, to eat meat that's been left out, you know, for a day, you know, for over a day there. So with this particular offering, They should eat it the first day, but if they didn't eat it that day, then they could eat it the second day. But look at verses 17 and 18. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day must be burned with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, nor shall it be imputed to him. It shall be an abomination to him who offers it, and the person who eats of it shall bear guilt. So any meat that was left over on the third day had to be burned. Now remember, this was offered to God, so it was holy. And folks, really what it says is that we're not to allow an offering to rot. We shouldn't allow something that was offered to the Lord to rot, and for it to become an abomination. And it's interesting, the Hebrew word for abomination literally means to stink. And that's pretty appropriate here, huh? I want to read to you verse 18 again in a couple of different translations. First in the New English Translation, because I think these two translations may help to kind of get the sense of what God is saying here. He said, if some of the meat of his peace offering sacrifice is ever eaten on the third day, it will not be accepted. It will not be accounted to the one who presented it, since it is spoiled. And the person who eats from it will bear his punishment for iniquity. And New Living Translation says, if any of the meat from the peace offering is eaten on the third day, the person who presented it will not be accepted by the Lord. You will receive no credit for offering it. By then, the meat will be contaminated. If you eat it, you will be punished for your sin. So, if the meat was eaten at all, any of it, on the third day, even if you were not the one who ate it. You offered it, but you didn't eat it on the third day, but somebody else did. It lost all the benefit to you. God wouldn't accept it as an offering. God rejected it. And the one who ate it would be guilty of sin. And you think, well, why? Why is that a big deal? Well, I think, first of all, that God was protecting his people from sickness and death. You know, some of the meat, you know, boy, you wait a little bit too long on that, and you can get real sick. And there's been people that have died from eating, you know, bad meat kind of thing. But I think the second thing is even more important. What was happening there when somebody wouldn't eat it on the first or second day, what was really going on was they were not regarding the value of the sacrifice. They were treating the sacrifice with contempt. Okay, no big deal. I'll eat it when I get around to it. You see, it's not that big of a deal. Come on. You know, and there's some self-will there. I'll do what I want to do. I'll eat it whenever I want to. If I want to eat it on the third day or the fourth day, I'll eat it kind of thing. And that is wrong. That's a wrong heart. And so God is prohibiting that. And notice that. What was prescribed to do with that peace offering for the offerer and friends and Levites, family and all that, was to eat it. What was prescribed, the eating of it, became prohibited after the appointed time. They could no longer partake of the offering. Now, each of those 3 days should speak to us today as to the availability of God's sacrifice for our sins, putting our faith in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and dying for us. You think about the first day, that first day that it was offered, that they were supposed to eat that whole sacrifice. They were supposed to partake of that sacrifice on the first day. I really believe that that speaks to us of this day and age that we are in, what theologians refer to as the church age or the age of grace. That now is the time, like we read in 2 Corinthians. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to come to Christ. Now is the time that we should partake of the sacrifice that God has made on our behalf. Now is the time that we should surrender to Him and have that peace with God, have that fellowship with Him. Now is that time. I think that corresponds to that first day. But then for those who refuse and wait, well, there's another time coming. And it's a lot like that second day. You know, if you ate the meat the first day, that would have been the best. It would have enjoyed it the most and all that stuff. And the sacrifice is really similar. And the second day, though, they had a second chance to partake for those that missed the first one. And I think that second day kind of corresponds to us with the Great Tribulation period. That it's a time that people who should have partaken of that sacrifice should have partaken during the first day, during this age of grace, where, all right, they missed it. But they could still partake of that sacrifice during that great tribulation. And it's going to be one of the ultimate, oh, you know, I missed it kind of thing. When they realized, oh man, the church is gone. All of those annoying Christians that were bothering me all the time and telling me I needed to receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord, they're gone. That I heard about that. It's called the rapture. And they're gone now. Oh man. And they told me that there was going to be 7 years of hell on earth after that. Well, there's going to be a lot of people getting saved during the Great Tribulation. We know that there's going to be at least 144,000 Jews that will be saved. And the Bible describes them, they're going to be like these super Jewish evangelists. You can imagine 144,000 Jewish Billy Grahams going around. And people would be getting saved. However, the sacrifice would have been a lot better if they had received it before, during that first day. They'll still be saved. They'll still make it in through eternity. But some of the benefit of that sacrifice, they won't be able to benefit by. Getting out of here in the rapture of the church. Yeah, they missed that. They won't get the benefit of that. They'll have to go through the Great Tribulation. there still can be saved. But many of those people will have to die for their faith. The Bible tells us that they're going to bring back the guillotine, that people are going to lose their heads. We already see ISIS doing that in the Middle East to Christians right now. If you've got kids that are, I think, fifth grade and above, they're learning about the persecuted church right now over in the youth room. And it's still happening today. And people are being beheaded just for their faith in Christ. Well, the Bible tells us that that's going to happen if we, if you're somebody who goes through that, if you haven't received Christ and you go through that tribulation, if you refuse to take the mark of the beast, then you'll be beheaded, kind of thing. You still make it to eternity if you have now, at that time, received Christ. The grace is still available, but it is like that second day. It's like that second day that, yes, you could still partake of the sacrifice, but it sure would have been better the first day. Now, the third day, I think that corresponds to what happens after we die. To see, they couldn't take of that sacrifice on the third day. It was no longer available to them. It was too late. And Hebrews 9:27 tells us, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. See, after we die, once we die, whatever our choice we made during life, we will have to live with the outcome, with the repercussions of that choice throughout all eternity. There'll be no more chances. Some people live like, and some people think that once you die, well, okay, you'll get another chance. Not so. He just tells us, once you die, that's it. See, we choose our destiny right now either by receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior or by rejecting Him. And understand, if you're saying, well, you know, I'm not really opposed to Jesus. I'm not really, really rejecting Him. I'm just not receiving Him. Well, to not receive Him is to reject Him. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. And that's the truth of it. And say, well, I haven't received Him yet. Well, understand, you don't know if you got tomorrow. And if you haven't received Him today, what makes you so sure you've got tomorrow? There's no guarantee about tomorrow. You do have today, though. God has given you today. God's given all of us today. But to die rejecting Jesus as Lord, rejecting Him as our Savior, refusing to receive that sacrifice that was for our sin, is to die in our sin without the benefit of God's sacrifice. And we'll have to stand before God and be judged by our deeds, by our actions, or as the Bible says, our works. But understand this. Your works, my works, are not good enough to make it into heaven. Our best that we can do, Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, okay, not our sins, but our righteousnesses, are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. The best we can do on our own is like filthy rags to God. God gives us a look ahead to the day when people will stand before Him with only filthy rags to present. They died rejecting Jesus. They died having not received Him as their Savior. And Revelation 20, verse 11 tells us this is what happens. He says, then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Understand that that is not God's desire for anyone. God does not want anyone to have to experience that second death. You know, you die physically, the first death, But then, at that time, all of the souls of those who died outside of Christ will stand before God. And there will be no place found for them. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. God doesn't want that. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." There's a lot of people that say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, but, you know, Grandma was talking about Jesus coming back. Grandma was talking about the rapture," kind of stuff. And, you know, it ain't going to happen. You know, we've been hearing about that forever. Well, it's not that God is slack concerning his promise, but he's being patient. He's being long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. And maybe God was waiting for a couple people here this morning, you know, to receive him, to not miss the opportunity for that peace offering to be active in their lives. Truth is, and we've read this before, Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned. And because of that, we're told in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. See, that second death, the lake of fire kind of thing. That's the wages. That's what we earn. That's what we deserve by sinning. But he goes on and says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today is the day to receive God's gift of salvation, the sacrifice made by Jesus on the cross for us. That sacrifice that removes our sin. And by accepting that sacrifice, by offering ourselves to him, then the war with God is over. And we're at peace with him. And that's what God desires. And to put your trust in Christ, surrendering your life to him, the Bible tells us that our names then are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we don't have to worry about what happens there in Revelation 20. We don't have to worry about that great white throne judgment. We don't have to worry about the tribulation, none of that stuff. Doesn't mean that we can't be persecuted between now and then. But the thing is, that's when to receive him now during this, what I would refer to as the first day, that's when the sacrifice is going to do you the most benefit. That's what you're guaranteed, though, is today. We are not guaranteed anything more than today. And if you haven't done that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. In it, Lord, you have told us of your great love for us. Lord, you've told us of what you've done for us. You've let us know how we have fallen short and the provision that you made for that. Father, you've also been faithful to tell us the future for those who love you, who have surrendered to you, and the future for those who refuse. Father, I pray right now for each and every individual here. Lord, if there is anyone here that has not surrendered to you, that has not received your sacrifice for their sin, Father, I pray that you just open their heart now. Lord, that they would do that, that they would receive you, and the war would be over. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if that's you. If you realize today is the day, you want to give your life to Christ, you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, then raise up your hand. I want to pray with you, and then I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here at all? Okay, I see both of you in the back there, towards the back. Anybody else? Today is the day. Father, I pray for that couple that has raised their hands, and Lord, is doing so, Lord, they're telling you, Lord, that they're receiving you. And Father, I pray for those that maybe should have raised their hand, Lord, that they would make a commitment. And each person who commits their life to you, that you would make it real. Father, I pray that no one that leaves here today would leave here without you. And those that raise their hand, and maybe those that didn't and should have, if you want to pray this prayer to receive Christ, just repeat it after me, and God sees your heart. He hears you. Heavenly Father, I am sorry for my sin. I pray that you would forgive me because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. Come into my life now and help me to live for you from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that simple prayer, God heard you and he has responded to you. And if you have any questions, if you are not sure about some things or whatever, then, you know, I'll be up here afterwards and the worship team will be here and we'd be glad to answer any kind of questions you might have about what was taught today. We've got some Bibles we can give you, a Bible study you can take home and do, but we really want to help you to get started with the Lord and to make that start just really solid. But if not, then, you know, from here on out, let's walk with him. And let's also understand that there are people out there that are perishing and that this might be getting real close to the third day for them. They may not have tomorrow, but God has put you and I in their world to share the gospel with them. So let's be faithful to do that, huh? Let's praise the Lord with one last song before we go.